Did you know that 15% of adults in the United States practice yoga? That's almost 37 million people. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm sitting in for Larry Mueller today, and we're going to see what all the fuss is about on yoga. Our guest is Andrea Russell. She's been practicing yoga and meditation since 1996 and has been teaching since 2000. She is the assistant director and a lead instructor for Alignment Yoga's teacher training programs. Are you one of those 37 million people who practice yoga? What's been your experience? Join the conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page. Just look for The Larry Mueller Show. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for coming in today. Why don't we start a little bit? Let's take the mystery out of yoga. What in basic terms is it?
Yoga is a physical practice, and it's primarily various yoga postures that may help strengthen and stretch the body in various ways. In addition to the various yoga postures, usually classes include breathing practices, relaxation techniques, and meditation as well.
So you've been doing yoga for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. What drew you to it?
Originally, it was something for health and well-being.
Sure.
I began practicing and certainly started to experience the benefits in that way. And then in 97, I had a minor back injury, and my physical therapist actually recommended that I start doing yoga every day. At that point, I was, practicing a couple times a week, but it wasn't very consistent. And mm-hmm. she encouraged me to practice yoga more regularly. And I did find that the back issue that I had did resolve itself quite quickly with a regular practice.
And it is amazing what it can do for people physically. I saw a little video on Facebook not too long ago with a woman who had, was very hunched over. She was an elderly woman, and it took not very long at all, and she was standing up straight. I mean, is that typical?
I saw that post, too.
Okay.
I thought that post was pretty remarkable.
It was.
Yoga definitely will help improve posture. I think that's one of its greatest benefits, especially in this time in which so many people spend time sitting in chairs and sitting
yes.
on couches and rounded over computers.
Yes.
Our posture can really benefit from yoga. They say 95% of Americans have head-pitched forward syndrome. So that means almost all of us, I think, could benefit from improving our posture. And yoga
yes.
Does that. Very well.
Absolutely. Now, how do you think the perception of yoga has changed over the years, even in the 20 years since you started?
Goodness. Well, when I began teaching yoga here in Madison, there were 3 yoga studios, and now I believe there's over 30.
Oh,
so it's become much more popular, and I think much more mainstream accepted as a practice that is going to benefit your mind and your body and helps with stress relief. And I think it's much more accepted. We see it now in gyms and community centers.
It is. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. What do you think the biggest misconception is on yoga?
The biggest misconception is definitely that you have to be flexible to do yoga. I think that many people believe I'm too stiff to do yoga, but actually you're a great candidate for yoga because yoga helps to improve your flexibility.
I've heard that over and over because I do like yoga. I've loved it for years, and I'll ask people, oh, come to these yoga class with me. It's great. And, oh, no, I'm way too stiff for that.
I hear that all the time.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. Our guest is Andrea Russell. She is a certified yoga teacher and is the assistant director and a lead instructor for Alignment Yoga's teacher training programs. Why have you or why haven't you tried yoga? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. All the lines are open, so let's hear what you think about yoga and if it's changed you, your health, your physical being, mental being. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. So when people say, I'm not flexible enough for yoga, but you talk them into coming to a class, how do you start with them? I mean, How do you ease them into a yoga practice?
There's so many different ways to begin a practice. There are various classes that are specifically for beginners. Mm-hmm. For instance, I teach an intro to yoga series at Mound Street Yoga, and that's an 8-week series, which most people are brand new. They come in and we teach them step by step the yoga postures. Other studios have beginner yoga classes or intro to yoga days, and that can be really beneficial if somebody, especially if somebody has a little hesitation, a little nervousness, you know, they're afraid to be the only one new. Those beginner classes can be really wonderful. But a lot of other studios have all-level classes. I teach an all-levels class at Bliss Flow. And in that class, you might have brand new beginners with seasoned practitioners. And a skilled teacher will be able to modify the practice to support varying degrees of ability in one class by modifying or offering different challenges.
Besides, you know, we've got the physical benefits. I think a lot of people realize that. But mentally, mental health-wise, there's a lot of benefit there too, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course. There's a lot of studies about how the mind can contribute to our illness or our stress, but the mind can also contribute to our well-being and our health. And because there's an emphasis often on mindfulness, the quality of our attention when we practice yoga, there's a great benefit to the mind. And that may allow the mind to become more calm, help increase concentration and focus as well, and just help us regulate stress in general.
Which is huge right now.
Yeah.
So there is the relaxation part of it, or the actual poses themselves that help with the stress release?
Both. The various yoga postures, as well as the breathing techniques, can be very down-regulating on the autonomic nervous system. And what that means, basically, is it can help you go from that fight-or-flight kind of revved-up place to feeling more peaceful, more calm, more relaxed. And the yoga postures specifically do that, but also the breathing techniques. And learning to pay attention, you know, bringing our mind back. When the mind wanders, you know, we tend towards anxiety and stress. And so the more you can work with concentration and focus and being attentive to the present moment, the more it will start to calm the mind and help you land into a place of stillness.
Which is, we hear that mindfulness tag all the time.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're talking about, right?
Of course. And mindfulness is just basically moment-to-moment awareness without judgment. And that's one of the gifts that yoga can bring to us.
Now, how often do you actually have to practice yoga in order to get the benefits from it?
Even just coming to a yoga class one day a week, people will most certainly see benefits. They may see aches and pains start to diminish, you know, or tension patterns lessen. And just an overall quality of the mind may improve. Certainly, if you can come 2 or 3 days a week, you'll certainly receive more benefit the more you practice. And I do encourage folks that as they become more comfortable with the practice, even practicing for just a few moments at home can make a real big difference.
It really does. We've got a caller, Lori in Cramden. Hi, Lori. What do you have for us?
Hi. I just wanted to kind of piggyback what your guest is saying in that I try to get in yoga twice a week, but oftentimes it's only once a week with my work schedule. And I find that even once a week, practicing yoga for an hour makes a great difference in my stress level and my flexibility level. And I've also decided, too, now that I just do twice a day. If I can't get in my hour session, twice a day just to do some simple stretches and some simple breathing, and it makes such a tremendous difference. The other thing that I wanted to point out is I'm in a very rural area, and so I and several of my colleagues like to get together and just do some yoga practice together. So even if you don't have a studio, you can do yoga wherever you are.
Thank you. That's wonderful, Lori, and that's so true. I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm out in the country. There's no studio around here. But you can do it at home, can't you?
Absolutely. And a lot of the rural areas, there are yoga studios popping up where the libraries and things are starting to have yoga, which can be a great benefit to people outside of Madison.
Absolutely. They're everywhere because everybody knows what a great thing it is, right? Now, you had mentioned breathing before. How does breathing and yoga work together?
Mm-hmm. So there's a great deal of emphasis on the breath because it does have an ability to help regulate the mind. And also many of the yoga postures are linked to the breath just because there's going to be a greater benefit when you're linking the movement to the breath. There's this tendency often when we're going through yoga postures that we'll tend to hold our breath. And, you know, really anytime you hold your breath, it does elicit the stress response. And so if we can learn to move and breathe in the yoga practice, chances are we're going to be able to move and breathe when we're not in yoga, just in our daily life, because chances are when you're moving about your life, if you bump into a stressful moment, likely you're holding your breath. And if you can learn to keep breathing through challenge or stress on the yoga mat, you'll be able to do that more easily as you navigate your life.
Makes a huge difference. Anytime that I know I feel stressed out, I just, oh, remember you have to breathe. And it makes such a big difference. So yeah, try it now out there, you guys. Just breathe.
Just taking 3 deep breaths can really reset you.
It can. It can. Now, are there any risks of injury for people doing yoga?
You know, certainly with any activity that's using the physical body, there is risk. And I think most teachers are very well-intentioned and have your best interest in mind in helping you stay safe. And that's one of the great benefits about getting to a class is because they can help you with your alignment or working with the postures in a safe way. I would say generally yoga is very safe. You know, you do want to be mindful and aware that, you know, you don't want to do anything that hurts or strains. And if something does hurt or strain, chances are you shouldn't be doing it. Maybe you're pushing too fast too soon. Or perhaps the alignment's a little off, you know, and you just need to move, you know, a hip or a shoulder in a particular way, and it'll ease up the discomfort.
And that's one thing that is a little different from yoga than a lot of other sports where it's, you know, the no pain, no gain kind of thing. That's not true in yoga, is it?
Correct. I think a lot of other practices, it's a push and strive. And in yoga, I think we're looking to move more mindfully, really take into consideration what's the healthy range of motion for the body and work from within that place.
Now, I read studies that say that people who do yoga are more likely to eat better, and they're also more likely to do another type of exercise. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, I do believe that to be true, because when we do yoga, it is building a deeper relationship between the body and mind. And usually, as we start to become more connected to ourselves, we feel more inspired about making healthy choices, making skillful choices.
Now, do you think that happens to be the kind of person who's attracted to yoga, or does that come after they start yoga? I know that's it.
Yeah, not necessarily. I think it can go both ways. Sometimes we have a great interest in health and well-being, and it brings us to yoga, and other people get brought to yoga because somebody's pulling them along,
right.
And they're a little resistant, and they try it, and they actually find benefit.
And they like it, and mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And we have a few people that are on our lines right now, and we're going to be getting to them in just a little bit. Our guest is Andrea Russell. She's a certified yoga teacher and is the assistant director and a lead instructor for the Alignment Yoga's teacher training programs. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I am sitting in for Larry Mueller today. He's taking a vacation, much deserved, I'm sure. We want to thank you for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you've got a question about yoga, please give us a call. The number is 1-800-648-1234. And of course, you can always post on our Facebook page or email us at WPR.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back with you after the news. The top 3 reasons that people do yoga is its impact on their health, use as a stress reliever, and just the enjoyment of yoga itself. Do you do yoga? Have you thought about trying it? Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm in for Larry Mueller. Our guest is Andrea Russell. She's been practicing yoga and meditation since 1996, and she's been teaching since 2000. She is the assistant director and a lead instructor for Alignment Yoga's teaching training programs. Now, yoga is being taught in preschools and retirement communities and everywhere in between. Do you have questions about yoga? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Larry Mueller Facebook page. And remember, Mueller spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. Okay, well, Andrew, we've got a couple of people who have been patient enough to wait over the news. So let's get their comments. Julie in Milwaukee. What do you have to say about yoga?
yes. You had addressed people who aren't flexible or think they're not flexible enough to yoga, but I was wondering about people who might think that they're too overweight to do yoga. And I think she's trying answer off here.
I think she's got a baby. That's the reason. So what do you say to people who think their body is just not right for yoga?
Bodies of all sizes and shapes can definitely practice yoga. The nice thing about yoga is it can be adapted to the individual. So many of the yoga postures have different modifications that make them more accessible, whether you're a smaller body or bigger body. And any general all levels or group class will be definitely a suitable place for a bigger body person. However, there is also many different classes that are even catered towards the bigger body. There's something right now called curvy yoga and yoga for bigger bodies. And so some studios will have specific classes for those with bigger bodies simply to make the environment feel even more comfortable. However, you don't need a bigger bodied class to do yoga. You really can do yoga in any general class, and the teacher will be more than happy to help modify if needed. But I think you'll be quite surprised at what you might be able to do.
I agree. And I've taken a lot of different classes, and I've seen all kinds of sizes, and everybody seems to enjoy it. And you're right, you just modify it. And quite frankly, I've seen teachers who are not tiny people either, and they do a wonderful job too. So
absolutely
not a reason to not go. Let's go to Martine in Green Bay. Hi, Martine, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. I wanted to share a personal experience. I have a membership in a health club, and yoga was offered as an alternative class, and I thought I'd sign up for like a 2-month session. And the first session that was offered, I almost didn't go because I was just achy, and my spine was burning and my hips were burning, and I thought I need to take 3 ibuprofen just to show up. But I didn't, and I went anyway, and after 1 hour of my first session, I didn't ache for the rest of the day. I was sold after that.
Absolutely. See, and I'm sure you've heard that experience a lot, haven't you, Andrea?
I have. Many times people come to class and they're feeling, you know, some tension in their body in some way, and they come in and practice yoga and feel much better by the time that they leave.
So, Martine, are you still doing yoga?
Yes. I do it 2 to 3 times a week. My work schedule will change, and so we'll change that. So I'm looking at doing some yoga using an app so that I can, because I leave early in the morning and I get home late at night. So during the next year, I think I'm going to be limited to the classes that I'm going to take. But I will never stop doing yoga.
Well, and that's another point, too. Martine, thank you so much for sharing that with us. You don't have to go to a class, do you?
You don't have to go to a class. There's a lot of different ways that you can practice, especially now in this modern era. There's videos and YouTube channels and, like she mentioned, podcasts that are focused on yoga. So there's a lot of opportunity for practicing in, at home as well.
Now, I probably you heard from my intro, I read a study on yoga. So I have all these facts in my head.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but the one that I thought was extremely surprising was that in 2012, 4 million men practiced yoga. In 2016, it's 10 million. 10 million. Now, why do you think that it's taken men so long to discover yoga?
You know, that's interesting because in India, mostly men practiced yoga,
right.
And now women are beginning to. And it's the opposite here in the U.S. where...
So it's cultural?
Well, you know, what I've read is that it dates back to when yoga actually came here. You know, yoga's been practiced here for about 100 years or so. But let's say that in the 60s and 70s, there's a great book... on Indra Deve, which one of the first women to open a yoga studio in Hollywood. And she was promoting yoga to housewives at that time because they could come to her studio and classes. And she really jumped on the health bandwagon at that time. And so I think in yoga's early entry into the U.S., it was marketed towards women. And I think that's why it became so popular. But now I think men are also jumping on the opportunity to practice because it makes them feel better. And especially if, you know, they're doing sports or other things, it's going to be complementary to other practices as well.
And there are a lot of professional sports teams that do yoga as a practice for, you know, the game, right?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's good for cross-training in that way.
That always makes men more open for that, you know.
Yeah.
And we talked about, I talked about preschool and, you know, older people. Who is the best, what's the best age for someone to start yoga?
Anyone can practice yoga at any age. You know, I was just with my niece who's 4 this weekend and we were doing yoga and she was so excited about it. And there's actually many schools are incorporating yoga into the classroom just because of the great benefits that it brings to kids. However, you know, 20s, 30s are going to benefit all the way up to, I have someone in my class who's 80 who's doing yoga in group class. And so doesn't matter what your age, it's about finding a class that feels appropriate for you. So some classes are going to be more rigorous, some are going to be more gentle. So depending on your age, you might want to find a class that's going to be most supportive for your ability.
Perfect. And I think we have a great question about that from Mark in Wautoma. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I heard your comment about the increase in men taking yoga. I think that's probably because Aaron Rodgers said he was doing it.
That helps.
But I'm 62. I have arthritis and I have pain in my hips and back. And is there a, would that benefit me or do more harm?
It could benefit if you find the right class, I think, that's gentle for you. I do find that if somebody has, you know, specific health issues or concerns, sometimes it's beneficial to just get the doctor's nod that that it's good for you. But I do have many people in my classes that struggle with back pain, that have arthritis, that do benefit from yoga. And I think it might be helpful to look for a class that might be slow or more gentle, or even look for a teacher that has experience with working with other individuals that have had back pain or arthritis. And most teachers, they'll have your best interest in mind. So you could also email any teachers in your area and find out if their skill set would be of benefit to you.
And Mark, I can tell you from experience myself that I had problems with arthritis at one point, and I took gentle yoga and it helped a great deal. So in my case, it certainly was very helpful. So good luck with that, Mark. Thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. We're speaking with Andrea Russell. She's a certified yoga teacher and is the assistant director and a lead instructor for Alignment Yoga's teacher training programs. Do you have any questions about yoga? Give us a call. Tell us your stories. Has it helped you? Have you had a bad experience? We're willing to listen to those too. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to talk@wpr.org. We did have someone who emailed us and asked if we could talk a little bit about the different types of yoga. That gets a little confusing because these aren't like American names, so they get confusing. So why don't you talk about that? Why are there so many different types, number one?
There's probably 100 different styles of yoga or approaches of yoga, perhaps even more than that. And it can be a little bit confusing.
Yes.
Some styles of yoga are going to be more slow and gentle, and other styles might be more rigorous and more more athletic. I teach a style of yoga called alignment yoga, and it's working with alignment to help you move safely through the practice, also working on, you know, healthy range of motion and biomechanics. It's geared towards the 21st century Western body. So we've grown up sitting in chairs and wearing shoes. We have a different body than, let's say, folks from India. Then there's also other styles of yoga, such as vinyasa yoga. Vinyasa is a very popular style of yoga right now. And vinyasa is a flow-based yoga. So in vinyasa yoga, you're going to link things together with a sun salutation or with a flow-like sequence. With vinyasa, many people enjoy vinyasa yoga. One thing to note is that it can be many different approaches. So vinyasa yoga might be a slow flow, which is going to be more gentle, but vinyasa yoga can also be a power flow or something that's very fast and rigorous. So if you are perhaps more athletic, more able-bodied, you may enjoy that powerful flow, that more rigorous style of yoga. But if you have some injuries or health challenges, perhaps that slower or more gentle approach to vinyasa could be beneficial.
So you suggest that people maybe check out a class before they sign up?
I think it can be great to try the different classes that are in your area. And if you try a class and you love it, great. You found something right away. Mm-hmm. If you take a class and you don't quite like it and you don't think it's a good fit, try another class, another instructor, another style, because the styles can vary greatly. And each teacher brings their own unique gifts or voice to the class as well.
Very, very true. Let's go to Stephanie in Madison. Hi, Stephanie. What's your question?
Hi. I was just curious. I know many people who do yoga and even some folks who are trying to gain teacher certificates and such. But what's very fascinating is the concept of competitive yoga. Can you speak to that? And what is that about? And how do you compete in yoga?
Oh, that's a new one to me. What is that, Andrea?
It's not something I know a great deal about because it's not in my spectrum of practice. but I believe it's coming from the Bikram style of yoga. They're advocating yoga competitions. They actually have a yoga competition every year, and it's, I believe, it's geared towards hot yoga or Bikram style yoga. And it's... there are some people that I think enjoy that or maybe are attracted to that. But historically, I don't believe that's been a real common trait in yoga, because I do believe that it's a place where you can let go of competitiveness and show up as you are. But there's a lot of things that happen under the umbrella of yoga.
Sure. And a lot of misconceptions. And yeah, that does seem a little different than what you'd think. Now, Julie emailed to say that she really has a problem holding herself up with her wrists when she's doing poses like plank. Do you have any suggestions for her?
Of course. When you have issues with the wrists in downward dog or plank pose, usually it's going to point to the upper back. And if you develop more strength in the muscles of the upper back and learn to support your arms from the upper back, you'll actually develop stronger wrists in that way. Like, the upper back will support the wrists and those transitions will become more accessible. However, if it bothers the wrist, I would avoid them. You can always use your knees or choose classes that are less sun salutation based, classes that don't have as many plank postures.
Maybe with a chair? I mean, is that one of the props they could
certainly
use?
Certainly. There are chair yoga classes that would not have plank pose, and the chair yoga classes can be really wonderful, especially for folks that have a hard time perhaps getting up and down off the floor.
Right. Oh, and we've got a few more calls here. Let's go to Sheila and Nina. Hi, Sheila.
Hello.
What happened to you with yoga?
A friend and I signed up for just a rec yoga class, and it said for all levels. Well, we went there, and it was obviously not for beginners, so it turned both of us off so bad. We felt so out of shape and stupid that my friend will never take a yoga class again, and I feel really bad because I said, I think if we try a different one, it might help. But why I'm doing this is because when you sign up for yoga class, be sure you find out if it really is for beginners, because this definitely was not.
Oh, that's too bad. What do you say to someone like that, Andrea?
Well, I'm so sorry that was your experience, and also a first introductory to yoga, because that can be a real turnoff to take on a class that doesn't adapt the practice to everyone's needs and can feel quite challenging. I would highly recommend finding an alternate class, an alternate teacher. A lot of times the skill level or the experience level of the teacher will determine their ability to adapt the class to many different levels. And I think it's really worthwhile to try a different style of class or a different instructor. And if you find other classes in your community, you could even, you know, email or ask them specifically if it's going to be accessible. And you could even let them know your past experience so that they know that you have had a poor experience and you're really looking to try again and have a better outcome.
Good luck, Sheila. Definitely try and let us know how it works. Thank you for calling. Appreciate that. Now, Jim in Rice Lake, you had a negative experience too. What happened?
Okay. I just started it kind of on my own. A few people that I know do it, and boy, I thought that's just what I should be doing. And I ended up with a very, very bad lower back problem caused by it. Probably from doing the thing where you line your stomach, raise your, have it, and you extend it out with your arms in front of you and raising your feet up and your arms up. And I've been to PT for many years. And when I went in, my PT, I went into my PT because I was in so much pain. And she said, what are you doing? And I told her, and she says, you can't be doing that stuff. And, she's a yoga person too. And since then, I've been looking. I looked online at what I shouldn't be doing with my problem. And there's a lot of things that I really can't do. And I was hoping they would help. I have spondylolisthesis and two bulging discs, and one's just a minor bulge. And with the stuff that she has taught me, it has really helped me a lot. But I can't do, I do extensions, back extensions, but I cannot do them to a very, very good degree. And nothing flexion. So downward dog is totally a negative. And I'm never supposed to do that kind of stuff. I'm always supposed to use my legs and keep my spine neutral as much as possible. And what I... saying this as a big negative about yoga, and I'm trying to figure out some way I can get back into doing it.
So there are limitations, Andrea.
There are. I'm so glad that you found a physical therapist to work with and somebody that could help you. I do find that folks that have injuries, back injuries and such, it is very helpful to find a skilled instructor that knows what postures are going to be supportive for you and what postures you should avoid, because you are correct. With your specific condition, there may be postures that may not be supportive for you that you should avoid. And working with a teacher that has experience may help you be able to determine which postures will be supportive and which ones won't. Sometimes I find that if someone has, some challenges and group classes are difficult, working one-on-one privately with an instructor can be much more beneficial.
Okay. Well, good luck, Jim. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Richard in Madison. Sounds like he might have had a little better experience. Hi, Richard.
Hi. I'm wanting to give a shout out to the Gildas Club here in Madison area. My wife is a cancer survivor, and they hold yoga classes for all, women who have gone through the hell of chemo, surgery, the whole bit, to get them back in shape. And they do a great job.
Well, that's great. I didn't know about that. That sounds like a great program. Richard, is she still doing yoga?
Go on.
Is she still doing yoga?
She passed away in 2018.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not because of being a yoga, right?
No.
With a different cancer that got her.
Oh, okay.
But her best friends and everything else, they're still doing yoga over at Gildas Club.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you for sharing with us that. appreciate the call, Richard. Let's go to Vicki in La Crosse. Hi, Vicki.
Hello there.
What do you have for us?
Well, when I was 50, I was getting massages from a woman who also taught yoga. And she was encouraging me to take a class, and I said, no, I'm too old. And she said, well, then I'm going to start a class. So she immediately did for people over 50, so that meant I had to take it. Now I sit in the parameters of her class. And so I stayed with her for a while, and then eventually what I did was started taking classes through the La Crosse Park and Rec. They have a lot of different types of yoga and instructors and everything available, and they're very inexpensive. And I don't even live in the city, so I pay a little bit more, but it's still very doable. So they have all types of yoga from the regular that people talk about being a little bit faster to, I end up taking more like an adaptive yoga class and another one that's called senior. And both of those are actually quite different due to the styles of the teacher. And my husband got interested in it quite a few years ago, too, and his work schedule allowed, so he started taking it. So now we go together, and it's real good for balance and strength. And those are the two things I'm missing at age 64. So I've had diabetes for many years, and it's been real helpful in that regard, too. And just one thing, too, I wanted to mention, you know, the early yoga was pretty much a religion. You know, you were supposed to do the whatever meditations and all that. And now I find yoga is, it's an exercise class that's very beneficial. Of course, we got the mind-body working there, but we're not encouraged to do anything strange. It's just very much useful.
All right.
No, well, really.
Well, we appreciate that, Vicki. Thank you very much. Just briefly, Andrea, how did you address that when people say, you know, there's a religious connection to this?
Of course. Yoga does come from India, and it was evolving during a time in which many religions were also evolving in India, and they evolved parallel, but very different practices. And yoga is definitely not a religion, and you can have any faith or any experience religiously and practice yoga. And it won't interfere.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much, Andrea. We've been speaking to Andrea Russell. She's a certified yoga teacher and an assistant director and a lead instructor for Alignment Yoga's teacher training programs. And I want to thank KP Whaley for on-air production and to Dave Potratz for technical direction. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn will speak to a pair of election law experts about the latest rash of overturned voter laws across the nation, including here in Wisconsin. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thank you for listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.